Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. Now, recently, my cousin Oliver came to my flat and we had a few conversations. And so I thought that I would present him with an interesting criminal legal case, which I had found on the internet. So why don't you listen to that and see if you can learn some legal English vocabulary related to criminal law, okay? So that's what you can expect in this episode of the podcast. So hello, everyone. And I'm sitting here in my living room with my cousin Ollie. Hello, Ollie.
Hello, Luke.
Now, you've been on the podcast before.
I have. I've featured once.
Yeah. Which episode was that?
That was the London Underground.
The London Underground,
tips,
that's right.
Tips and etiquette.
Right. Okay, how have you been?
I've been very well, thank you. Good. I've been working hard and playing football and playing music and life is fine, thank you.
Okay, good. You do work very hard, don't you?
I do work very hard, yeah, particularly at the moment.
Yeah, you've just got a new job, in fact.
I have got a new job, yeah.
What are you doing now?
I'm working at the BBC. I'm now head of production for factual programmes in London.
Head of production for factual programmes in London?
That's right.
That sounds quite important.
It's all relative.
Relative to what?
Relative to everyone else in the BBC. It's reasonably important to some people and completely meaningless to others.
Okay. How many steps are you away from being numero uno?
Oh, I don't know. Probably five.
Five steps from the top?
Five steps from the top.
Seriously?
Yeah, still that far. Like, do you mean that far?
No, I mean that's really close.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of people. How many people?
Within
those five bands, there's probably, you know, hundreds.
Oh, okay. But in a sense, you're like five steps, being five jobs from the
yeah,
top.
Yeah, in theory, yes.
Oh, God. And you're only, what, 34?
Yeah.
You think you're going to be the boss of the BBC one day?
I very much doubt it.
Really?
Yeah, I really doubt it.
Okay. But in your job, you're responsible for production of factual programming.
In London, that's right.
In London.
So that's documentaries.
Yeah.
Programs about art, history, business, science.
Language?
Not language.
Actually. Why not?
Because that's not really a kind of genre. What would it come under? It's probably under BBC Learning, which is a separate division.
Yeah, BBC Learning. They're kind of my competitors.
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely crush them.
I do. Do you think I crush the BBC?
I think you crush the BBC's language department.
I don't think I do. I think just me on my own against the whole BBC language department, I would probably crush them because I'm the equivalent of, like, Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like the citizens of Tokyo in the, the 60s or whatever, and I'm like, Godzilla, just crashing through, just this sort of lone nutter who's just sort of garnered all this massive amounts of sort of credibility, just crashing through the BBC with my podcast.
Well, King Kong, maybe.
Yeah, I'm like King Kong, but better than King Kong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like King Kong who didn't die at the end. Apologies if you haven't seen the film, but he does die at the end.
He does die at the end. And his grammar is actually quite poor.
King Kong's grammar?
Yeah, non-existent almost.
Yeah, he doesn't really have any grammar.
No, so in that way you're definitely better than
definitely
King Kong.
I'm definitely better than him in that sense. Also, I'm more capable of dealing with helicopters.
Yes, you could fly one, you could get in one.
I could, yeah. And plus, I've got better kind of pick-up lines, chat-up lines.
Yeah, you've got lines, full stop. I don't think King Kong... But he does pull.
Well, he managed... Do you think the girl, you know, in King Kong, you know, the woman who... he's in love with the blonde.
Do you think they have sex?
No, that's not the question I was about to ask, but fair enough. No, I was thinking, do you think that she was actually into it? Was she interested?
I think she was.
Really?
Yeah, I think she was hot for Kim Jong.
She was hot for him.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my god, I love the way he's got, like, you know, such load of hair on the back of his hands. Oh my god, that's so hot right now.
Exactly. I love that monkey face.
My god, his brutal face. The fact that he's not even human. It just turns me on so much.
He's so different.
He's not like the other guy. You don't know him like I know him. He's not a bad guy. He just wants to be left alone in the jungle. What do you reckon, right? King Kong and Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they would be friends?
Yeah, I think so. Tarzan is fairly friendly with most of the jungle.
Thing is, though, what's Tarzan known as? He's known as the King of the Jungle, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And what about King Kong? He's true. King. He's King Kong.
Of Kong.
Well, just King Kong.
Yeah.
Of I don't know where.
Well, that's the thing.
But if they met each other, what would happen? Would they have a fight or what?
No, I think they would sit down and chew the fat.
Chew the fat. What do you mean by that?
I think they would have a conversation.
So to chew the fat, listeners, means to have a conversation. A bit like the way my cousin Oliver and I are doing at this very moment. How did we get onto the subject of King Kong?
We were talking about it was a metaphor for your relationship with BBC Language.
So the fact that BBC Language are obviously a very organised sort of wing of the BBC. They've got many members of staff working for them, and so they represent the sort of organised, let's say, kind of civil sort of society of Tokyo in the Godzilla movies. And me, as Luke's English podcast, I'm just me, but I'm massive because I've got so many listeners and because I won this amazing award.
That's right, the Macmillan Awards.
The Macmillan I Love Dictionary Awards 2011.
Yeah, yeah. I think the BBC were desperately fighting for that award.
I think that was a broadside to the BBC.
That was, yeah.
And they were like, oh my god, get down to the BBC at once. We just heard Luke's won the Macmillan Dictionary Awards competition. Get in here. I want you to start writing that blog pronto. We need to out-teach this guy.
Yeah, there were people sitting, sweating around boardroom tables.
They were, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All the BBC people were in there. Anyway, I don't know quite how we got onto that. That's it, because your job, you've just started a new job as head of the BBC.
Head of production.
Head of production.
At yeah, we shouldn't overplay it, really.
What I was thinking is that maybe you could sort of set up a TV show, in which I, present a kind. Think of it as a bit like Top Gear, but for language.
Yeah,
you know the way Top Gear they deal with cars. They don't really tell you any useful information about cars, but it's very interesting, exciting. I feel like that's what I do. That's what I bring to the English language. I don't really tell you anything that's useful or interesting, but it's very entertaining.
You test drive some compound verbs. Is that what you're...
Exactly. I test drive phrasal verbs. I show off the English language.
That's right.
It's not so much, kind of consumer advice, more just a chance to watch the Stig driving a Lamborghini around a track.
That's right.
That's essentially what we're doing.
It's car porn.
Well, I don't like to use that word, to be honest, on the podcast. What I'm trying to say is that we're the glamour end of the English language here.
The glamour.
I'm at the glamorous end of the English language. Okay, right.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to take control of things now. Now, I'm going to present you with a story which you don't know about.
Okay. Okay.
I haven't told you about this before, have I?
No, sorry, I'm drinking wine.
We're drinking red wine at the moment. It's an old bottle of French red wine, which is 16.5%.
Yeah, it's halfway to port.
It's almost like port, and it's very sweet and very rich. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult to drink, to be honest. Mm. Anyway, so this is a story which I used to use in Japan.
Okay.
When I was an English teacher in Japan, many years ago.
Like Godzilla?
Like Godzilla.
But he wasn't an English teacher.
He wasn't, but he was in Japan.
He was in Japan.
Okay, so this is a story that I used to use in those lessons, and I actually found it one day in the teacher's room on a piece of paper, a very badly photocopied piece of paper with this story, and I read it, and I thought, wow, that's really interesting and amazing, and I'm sure that my students would find it interesting and instructive in some way. So I've recently found it again, found this story again, so I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
Now, the story is a kind of a mystery You might have heard it before because it's one of those internet phenomenons sort of thing. You might have heard it before, but it's a mystery story based around a crime. So it's a kind of a crime mystery.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you the story bit by bit, and I'm going to ask you various questions. And you have to be like a detective. You've got to try and work out what exactly happened, what kind of crime is it, who's responsible. Now, I know that you've already know a few things about criminal justice, I imagine.
A bit, yeah.
Because your father, my uncle, is a judge.
That's right.
He works at the criminal court.
He does, he works in the Crown Court.
Crown Court.
In Ipswich.
In Ipswich, so Ipswich Crown Court. The Crown Court is the High Court for criminal cases.
It's not the High Court. The High Court is different, but it is. They do try criminal cases.
I think it's the High Court.
Is it?
Yeah, he's not
a High Court judge, though. He's a Crown Court judge.
Okay. Well, as far as I know, all criminal cases first go to the magistrates.
Not all, I don't think.
I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I know they do.
So murder, would that go to the magistrate?
Yeah, it would. It would go to the... anyone who gets arrested and charged for a crime... They go to the magistrates almost immediately after, like the next day.
Yep.
And the magistrates are like three... they're like judges, but they're not actually judges. They're lay people.
Yep.
So sort of...
They're like super jurors.
Yeah, exactly. Like respected members of the community, business people or whatever. And they sit and they listen to the indictment of what the crime is. And then, based on that, they decide whether it's an indictable offence or a summary offence.
Okay, this is advanced language.
This is legal English that we're dealing with now. You're getting it for free. You're getting some free legal English here. Criminal law, to be honest. I think, really, it's the civil commercial law that they would pay for. But anyway, I'm giving you a little bit of criminal law for free. So they go to the magistrates' courts, and the magistrates listen to the indictment, and then they decide whether it's a summary offence or an indictable offence. If it's a summary offence, that means it's not very serious.
That's not to do with the summer versus the winter.
It's nothing to do with summer, winter, autumn, spring, none of that. It's a summary. It's not like the criminal sort of stole some flowers or something from a market.
Yeah.
It's not a summary offence. It's not like someone stole some ice cream.
I see.
Summary as in S-U-M-M-A-R. Well, it's still the same spelling, but anyway.
No, it's different. It's an A.
Yes, that's right. S-U-M-M-A-R-Y. So a summary offence, not very serious, and an indictable offence, which is a much more serious crime, which has to be heard in front of a jury and the judge in a court. And that,
so
I believe,
directing,
that is the
directing
High Court.
Traffic in a way.
Yeah. So your father, my uncle, works as a judge in a Crown Court in Ipswich, which deals with indictable criminal offences.
Yeah.
So you kind of know probably a little bit about...
A little bit, yeah. And both my sisters are lawyers.
That's right.
My brother-in-law is a lawyer.
You've got legal connections.
Legal connections, like your girlfriend. That's right.
That's right. Plus, you know, you're a fairly intelligent individual.
I can count and spell.
You can count and spell, okay.
Yeah.
So, before I read the story to you, I just feel like we need to define some terms, okay? Now, the first term that I'd like to define is the word suicide.
Yeah.
So,
This is a dark term.
This is a very dark term, but I told you it's like a criminal mystery story.
Okay.
You know, picture a kind of film noir kind of situation.
Yeah.
America, you know, sometime in the past...
It's probably raining, isn't it?
It could be raining. Los Angeles, something like that.
Yeah.
Think of it as like a criminal mystery story, okay?
Yeah.
So it's going to get a little bit dark. The story is a bit dark. It deals with some dark themes. So how would you define suicide then?
I think suicide is when someone takes their own life.
For example, in a car accident.
No, when someone deliberately kills themselves.
Okay, so they end their own life on purpose.
Yeah.
With intention to do it, okay? So it's not just if they kill themselves by accident.
No, it's like hanging, jumping off a tall building.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
That kind of thing. All right, so that's suicide. You intend to kill yourself and you do. Because isn't there a crime... Is it a crime, suicide?
I think not legally.
Right.
As in a religious... In some religions it might be frowned upon. But I don't think it's illegal to kill yourself.
I don't know if attempted suicide was a crime in the past.
Quite possibly, but that would be for religious reasons.
Right, okay. So the next one is murder.
Yeah.
How do you define that?
Murder is when you deliberately kill somebody else.
Okay.
you deliberately kill someone else. So, for example, a man breaks into my house and he threatens to kill my family, and I have no choice but to shoot him before he kills my family.
That would be manslaughter.
Really? Why? But I deliberately kill him.
Because there was... I assume that it would be because there was just cause, that kind of thing. You would have a compelling reason why you had to take that action.
Okay.
So that you killed them, and there's no that's never entirely justified.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a reason for it. So maybe murder is with prior intent, so it's planned.
Yeah, okay. It's like a pre-planned act of killing a person when you've planned it in advance, and there aren't any other factors which somehow make it less serious.
Yes,
so
exactly,
like this idea of having no choice, I had to kill him because he was going to kill my family, that might be considered to be a mitigating factor.
Yes.
So that's something which makes the crime somehow less serious.
That's right. Or if your wife had slept with someone else and she was talking to you about it and trying to anger you,
yeah,
and in the spur of the moment you did something which ended up with her dying,
you might be
manslaughter.
You pushed her and she fell down the stairs and she broke her
neck. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that because although you intended to do it at that moment, you weren't really
of sound mind.
So that might be a mitigating factor because of the moment of passion that control, for example, and that might make it manslaughter.
That's right. Involuntary manslaughter might be when you accidentally kill somebody else,
right,
but you were doing something which was not
responsible.
Not responsible.
For example, if you're drunk driving and you kill a pedestrian,
exactly,
that would be involuntary manslaughter. Okay,
yeah.
So you've got involuntary manslaughter, which is like you do it by accident. Then you've got voluntary manslaughter.
It's just manslaughter, probably.
Just manslaughter. That's where you maybe you kill someone, but you didn't really want to do it, so maybe it was a crime of passion or you were insane. And then above that, you've got murder. Okay. The mitigating factors, these are the things that make crime less serious. And aggravating factors are the things that make it more serious. So that would be, for example, in a robbery. If it's an armed robbery, if you use a weapon and you cause a lot of distress or maybe hit someone, that those would be aggravating factors.
So aggravated assault.
An aggravated assault, exactly. So we've dealt with suicide, we've dealt with murder, we've dealt with manslaughter. By the way, the verb that we use with all of these is the word to...
kill?
To commit.
To commit manslaughter, to commit murder. That's
and true. To commit suicide, right. What about attempted murder?
That's where you deliberately tried to kill somebody but failed.
So you try and kill someone, but you're not successful, okay?
Yeah.
So it's like you try to murder, but you don't manage to do it. That's still very serious, isn't it, attempted murder?
Yeah.
Homicide. This is an expression they use in America. Homicide. Homicide squad. What is homicide?
I assume that's just when you've killed a man, but it could be any of those three terms.
Yeah, it's actually either murder or manslaughter.
Oh, okay.
It's just the killing of another person is called homicide.
So hom being man.
That's right.
Side being death.
Exactly. There's lots of different other kinds of icide, like regicide.
Yeah, it's called kill a king.
Well, it's when you kill a king.
Fratricide.
Fratricide. Is that when you kill your brother?
Yeah.
Frat, meaning like fraternity, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is
infanticide.
Infanticide. Infant.
Yeah.
It's when you kill a child.
That's right. This is getting dark.
This is very dark.
Suicide is when you kill yourself.
Suicide, kill yourself. Yeah. Right. So.
But murder just stands out without the side.
Okay. I've got one other point here. What happens, right, if you, let's say, for example, I go and I try to kill a guy called John.
Yeah.
Sorry, John, if you're listening. But let's say, for example, I try to shoot a person called John because I don't like him. And I miss and I shoot Paul instead.
This is like a Beatles story. So if you attempted murder on John...
Wanted to kill John, but I missed and I shot Paul, and
so
he died.
Attempted murder and involuntary manslaughter.
So is that more serious?
I would think so.
Yeah. Because that, I think...
That's recklessness. It's reckless murder.
I think in some cases that would be considered to be murder.
Oh, really?
Because you've got a combination of attempted murder with the intention to commit an act of murder combined with...
Someone dying
and you being completely responsible for it. So that somehow becomes... the equivalent of murder, okay?
Yeah.
Right, now, all those things considered, let's now turn to the story. Now, I'm actually reading this from the computer, so I'd ask you not to look at the screen.
Okay.
Because it might spoil the sort of surprise or whatever. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'm going to read the paragraph to you, and you have to just tell me what you think the answers are to those questions.
Okay.
Don't forget to speak nice and clearly into the microphone. Right, so this is actually a story which was shared at an awards dinner at the annual American Academy of Forensic Sciences meeting in San Diego a few years ago.
Okay.
Forensics is obviously like the scientific approach to police detective work, like in CSI, you know, forensics. Okay, so it's like a meeting of forensic people.
Dexter.
Like in Dexter, exactly.
Very popular.
And this story was told at that event, and this is how it goes. Right, so on March the 23rd, the medical examiner viewed the body of a man named Ronald Opus, and he concluded that he had died from a gunshot wound of the head caused by a shotgun. Okay. Now, investigation to that point had revealed that the deceased had jumped from the top of a 10-story building with the intent to commit suicide. He actually left a note indicating his despondency, right? Now, as he passed the ninth floor on his way down, as he was falling, his life was interrupted by a shotgun blast which came through a window. So he was falling down, a shotgun blast came out of the ninth floor window and hit him in the head and killed him. Neither the shooter nor the deceased man were aware that a safety net had been erected on the eighth floor level to protect some window washers who'd been cleaning the windows, and that the deceased would not have been able to complete his intent to commit suicide because of the net. Right? Have you got the basic idea there? So I'm going to ask you some questions. How did the man die?
He died from a gunshot to the wound to the head.
Okay. When did the gunshot wound hit him in the head?
As he was falling.
Okay. Why did he jump from the top of the building?
Because he wanted to kill himself.
Why did he do that?
Because he was unhappy.
Right, okay. And so the shotgun blast killed him. Now, what's the significance of the net in this?
It's because he would have survived. So right. He attempted suicide, but would have failed. But actually, someone else caused his death.
Okay. All right. So, at this point, if you were the sort of detective working on this case, what's the crime?
The crime at this stage is involuntary manslaughter.
Okay, why?
Because whoever fired the gun didn't mean to kill the person who was falling, but did.
Okay, all right. So it's not suicide then?
No.
So even though the man wanted to die, he jumped off the building, he died. It's still not suicide.
Still not suicide. Because he was not eventually the cause of his death.
Right.
He didn't cause his own death.
Okay, all right. So
Yet,
all right. So let's move on to paragraph two. And the question is, I've just got one question. Why did the medical examiner consider this to be a homicide? Okay? So here's the paragraph. Ordinarily, a person who starts into motion the events with a suicide intent ultimately commits suicide, even though the mechanism might not be what he intended. So that he was shot on the way to certain death nine stories below probably would not change his mode of death from suicide to homicide. But the fact that his suicide intent would not have been achieved under any circumstance caused the medical examiner to feel that he had homicide on his hands.
Do I agree?
Why did he consider it to be homicide?
I think as we described is that because he wasn't the cause of his own death.
Right.
Because the action he took would not have resulted in him dying.
Okay.
And it was actually caused by another human being.
This person on the ninth floor who shot the shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he landed in the net, but it had wrapped around his neck and he died, there would be no other human being involved, and that would still be suicide, I assume.
Right, okay.
It might have been negligence if they'd left the net there. And
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right, so I'm going to read you the questions for paragraph three first.
Okay.
Who lived in the room where the shotgun blast came from? Who lived in the room where the shotgun blast came from? And why did he shoot the gun?
Yeah.
And who's responsible for the death? And what would you charge the old man with? If you were the police, what would you What's the crime? What would you charge the old man with?
Okay, right? So this is, these are to bear in mind as you read the next paragraph.
Yeah, that's right. We're very organised, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
All right, so further investigation led to the discovery that the room on the ninth floor from where the shotgun blast had come was occupied by an elderly man and his wife. He was threatening her with the shotgun because of an argument, and he became so upset that he couldn't hold the shotgun straight. Therefore, when he pulled the trigger, he completely missed his wife, and the pellets from the shotgun went through the window, hitting the guy in the head, killing him. All right? So who lived in the room where the shotgun blast came from?
An old man and a lady.
Yeah?
A husband and wife.
That's right. And why did he shoot the gun?
Because he was attempting to murder, or perhaps manslaughter, his wife. He was attempting to kill his wife.
Okay, he was trying to kill his wife, but he missed, and he shot the guy in the head as he fell past the window.
Yeah,
amazing,
bad luck.
Amazingly
it's
bad
like
luck.
Clay pigeon cheating.
In a sense, yes. But with dire, dire consequences.
That's right.
So who's responsible for the death?
The man.
The man who shot the gun.
The man who fired the gun.
Okay. And then, if you were the police detective in charge of this case, what would you charge the old man with? What crime?
At this point, it would be two crimes.
Uh-huh.
It would be attempted murder
of the woman
and involuntary manslaughter of the guy who's jumping past the window.
Right, so basically the guy's facing a 25-year stretch in prison.
At least.
Okay. The old geezer's going down. Paragraph 4. Ready for questions?
Yeah.
What is the old man's defence?
Okay.
Now, what's the charge? And who loaded the gun?
Okay.
And is he responsible? All right? So, here we go. When one person intends to kill subject A, but kills subject B in the attempt, one is guilty of the murder of subject B. So this is this attempted murder plus manslaughter.
That's the technicality of the law.
That's right. So it's still it's considered to be a murder. The old man was confronted with this conclusion, but both he and his wife were adamant in stating that neither knew that the shotgun was loaded, because it was the long-time habit of the old man to threaten his wife with an unloaded shotgun. So this is something they always did when they had an argument. He would point the unloaded gun at her and then go click. Not a very
in a slightly jokey way, I assume.
I don't know, but it's not very nice. Anyway, so this was his long-term habit. He actually had no intent to murder her. Therefore, the killing of the deceased man appeared to be an accident. That is, that the gun had been accidentally loaded. Right? Yeah. So what's the old man's defence?
The old man's defence is, I didn't know the gun was loaded, so I was not even attempting to murder her, let alone the person behind.
So he was just playing a game. He didn't realise the gun was loaded. So what's the charge now?
The charge is involuntary manslaughter. Accidental death, it could be.
Just accidental death. No one was responsible.
Yeah.
Really. But surely the man, the old man, you know, thinking about it, is it a reasonable thing to do to, like, you know, even when you think it's not loaded, to point a shotgun at a woman and shoot?
Yeah.
Even if you know it's not loaded?
If you know it's not loaded, then it's basically a toy gun. That's not a crime.
Except that toy guns don't shoot bullets and real guns.
But nor do real guns without bullets in.
Yeah, but you have to be careful, don't you? You have to. If you've got a shotgun in your possession, you have a kind of duty of care to make sure that you know it's not loaded.
Probably. If you've got a firearm license, you should know that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There should be probably some kind of rule.
So he's still kind of responsible for the weapon. So maybe it's still a kind of manslaughter, but with some mitigating factors, maybe.
Involuntary manslaughter.
So
with some mitigating circumstances.
Who loaded the gun?
So you haven't revealed
I haven't told you that, yeah.
No.
Okay. What do you think about the person who loaded the gun? Does he have any responsibility here? Is he liable in some way?
I would need to know more.
Okay.
But potentially, yes. It's irresponsible behaviour to load a gun that's not yours and then leave it loaded without notifying anybody.
Yeah, okay. So my next question for paragraph 5 is, who loaded the gun and why?
Yeah.
Now who's responsible and what for?
Okay.
Okay? So, but further investigation turned up a witness who said that the old couple's son had been seen loading the shotgun approximately 6 weeks prior to the fatal accident. That investigation showed that the mother, the old lady, had actually cut off her son's financial support, and her son, knowing the habit of his father to use the shotgun in a threatening way, loaded the gun with the expectation that the father would shoot his mother. So as a kind of sick act of revenge. The case now becomes one of murder on the part of the son for the death of Ronald Opus.
Okay.
So who loaded the gun?
The son did. Of the son of the man and the wife.
And why did he load the gun?
Because he was hoping that it would cause the death of his mother.
So he knew that his dad sometimes pointed the gun at his mother and went click.
Yeah.
So he loaded the gun thinking that his dad would shoot his mother. Why did he do that?
Because his mother cut off his financial support, so he was angry with his mother.
Right, so he wanted to get revenge.
Yeah, on revenge, his mum. That's right.
And set up his dad, frame his dad for the murder of his mum.
Yes.
God, what a horrible story.
Yeah.
Let's keep telling it, shall we? All right, so who's responsible?
So at this stage, the son is responsible for the death of the man falling outside the window.
Why?
Because he was the one who made a... turned a non-deadly weapon into a deadly weapon.
Right, by loading it.
By loading it without anyone's knowledge.
He also loaded it with the intention of causing the death of his mother.
Yeah.
So that was in effect an act of murder because he set in...
He deliberately attempted to kill his mother through that act.
That's right.
Do we know that for a fact?
Well, apparently, according to this witness...
Oh, I see.
Depends whether you agree with the witness or not, doesn't it, really? Okay, so final paragraph... And so we have the questions, who was the son? Why did the man jump? What's the crime? Okay. Right? So further investigation revealed that the son had become increasingly despondent over the failure of his attempt to get his mother murdered. This led him to jump off the 10-story building on March the 23rd, only to be killed by a shotgun blast through a 9th-story window. Right, so...
See.
Who was the son in the end?
Oh, so the son was the guy who killed himself.
Right.
He was attempting to kill himself by jumping from the roof.
Right. Why did he jump?
Because he was depressed and despondent because his mother hadn't been killed by his father.
Right. So he was so depressed that his plan had failed that he decided to jump off the roof to kill himself. Then what happened?
His own father... In a jokey act of pretending to kill his mother, fired a gun that missed his mother and was loaded, and the bullet from that gun went through the window and killed him as he fell past the window.
Yeah. So, what's the crime?
There hasn't been a crime. All that's happened is someone's committed suicide.
It's still suicide.
Yeah.
How do you explain that it's still suicide?
Because he was intending to kill himself, and then he by his own actions, he ended up dead.
So he was responsible for his death. Because
for his own death.
He kind of committed a murder on himself in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
He intended to kill someone else. And as a result of that, he actually... He intended to kill someone else. He intended to kill himself. And he did end up killing himself. So he intended to kill someone. That person ended up being himself.
Yeah.
So it's a suicide.
So it's a suicide.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened in the story. The medical examiner... eventually decided that this was a suicide and the case was closed.
What a dark but twisting tale.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, it is. It's a great story.
Now, that story went round the internet many years ago, back in the early days of the internet. That was apparently all over the internet in August 1994.
Was it in the film Magnolia?
It did appear also in a film. So that story was told again in a movie called Magnolia in a 1999 film.
Good movie
with Tom Cruise and a few other people. Do you think it's true?
No.
Why not?
It's too implausible.
What do you mean implausible?
It's hard to believe. There's too many different things that need to happen for that to actually take place.
Right.
It's very unlikely.
Right, so it's just so hard to believe.
So unlikely.
Well, the fact is, you're right, it is a made-up story, and it was made up by this guy Mills, who actually originally told the story at this conference. And Mills said this about it. He said, "I made up the story in 1987 to present to the audience at that meeting for entertainment and to illustrate how if you alter a few small facts, you actually greatly alter the legal consequences." So it just shows that, you know, there can be a very fine line between murder, manslaughter, suicide, and nothing. All it takes is a few little things to change. He said, "In 1994, someone copied it onto the internet, and I was told it had already gathered 200,000 inquiries on the net. In the past 2 years, I've had around 400 telephone calls about it. Librarians, journalists, law students, even law professors wanting to incorporate it into textbooks. But he had just made the whole story up in order to illustrate a point." So there you go. Great story, isn't it?
Very good story. Yeah. Very good.
Do you know any other stories of like famous crimes or anything?
Famous real crimes.
Or any kind of crime of some
None that I could. My dad told me a very interesting one, but probably unrepeatable.
Really? We're not allowed to mention it?
I don't think so. Real crimes. No.
It's quite hard to think of some famous ones. I mean, there's obviously stories like the O.J. Simpson trial, where he was accused of like murdering his wife.
And that's her right. Wasn't the key piece of evidence some gloves that he said didn't fit him?
Yeah, some gloves
were used to murder to strangle his wife.
Yeah, but and it seemed at the time during the trial that all the evidence seemed to suggest that he did it, that he murdered her. But then somehow during the trial he managed to, the jury decided that, was there a jury?
Yeah, there was a jury, but they decided the evidence wasn't compelling enough.
Yeah, I suppose it's like that idea that it has to be beyond reasonable doubt, doesn't it? So that means if you're committing a man to, you know, if you're accusing a man or proving a man of guilty of murder, if you're returning a verdict of guilty, you need to be absolutely sure, because it would be terrible if you sent the guy to prison when he was actually innocent.
And during the days of capital punishment in England, there were stories of innocent people being hanged.
Yeah.
Who were later pardoned, but that's not much help
when
you're dead.
Yeah, it's not much help, is it, really?
And there's obviously the Michael Jackson case. There's lots of famous cases with celebrities.
The Jackson case, I don't think that was a criminal case. That was a private civil case, I think. And
of child abuse.
Yeah, but I think it was a claim for damages. I'm not sure. It may have been a bit more complicated. It may have been a criminal case too, but I think it was a private case between, you know, some individuals, some parents, and Michael Jackson.
Maybe.
And in fact, he settled out of court. He made an out of court settlement, so he wasn't found not guilty. He just settled out of court. So that means
I didn't think that was the case. I thought he was found.
No, he wasn't found. He wasn't found guilty.
Okay.
No, I'm almost certain that he settled out of court.
He sidestepped it.
But basically, when you make an out of court settlement, it's basically a way to sort of stop the case continuing, and it's almost like admitting, isn't it?
I don't know. That would be probably libelous to suggest that.
I don't know. Anyway, there you go. I hope you enjoyed the story.
Very good story. I enjoyed the story very much.
Good, excellent. Do you want another glass of wine?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
All right then. Fine. Good. I'll pour you one in a second.
Thanks.
Anything else you want to say?
No, that was good fun. Actually.
Okay. Thanks. That was actually about 35 minutes.
If that was a conversation with my dad, that would be about a 3.5-hour podcast.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, you should do it.
I should interview your dad.
You should.
I'm sure he's got some interesting stories to tell.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to get the wine in then. Okay, that was the conversation between me and my cousin. Now, I do recommend that you visit my website, because there you can find things like vocabulary, which I used in this episode. You can actually see the vocab and read it and check out the definitions and stuff. And also you will see a transcript of the story of Ronald Opus, which you can read and to sort of really understand. So I recommend that you visit the site, and you probably know what the website address is. Of course, it's http://www.teacherluke.podomatic.com. Now, I realise that all of my episodes are available free on the internet, but I do put in some work to do this podcast, and I have to pay for the subscription to Podomatic, so please send me a donation if you can. It's very simple.
you just use PayPal. Also, I know that because this podcast is available free, a lot of people download it from iTunes, which is a very good way of doing it because you can subscribe there and then receive every new update as it's published. And also, there are various other websites around on the internet which host my site, or at least provide links to it. So I just do remind everyone who's listening to this, whether you're on iTunes or some other kind of software, that you should visit the website, because there you can find lots of useful information and other things like videos, a comments box where you can comment. You can find a link to my Twitter account, so you can read all my tweets there, and various other things that I post up there from time to time. You can also donate by clicking buttons on that page. So please visit the site, teacherluke.podomatic.com, and you can look forward to more episodes of Luke's English Podcast in the near future. Thank you very much for listening. That's it for this episode. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to this episode. Don't forget that you can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and, of course, on Facebook.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.